Hello and welcome everybody to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Valbon. We are still reading a little bit from last night's result. We're still a little bit angry, but we're going to crack on and we're going to preview the upcoming North London Derby. I'm joined once again by Lee Curtin. Hello, Lee.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening. He's sporting a very lovely new headset. I'm obviously following my lead, but he's got a little head mic as well. I like it. It's wicked. And always a pleasure to have our international man from NYC. Bigging up Tim Leonard. Big up yourself, Tim.
Greetings, gentlemen. I'll say good afternoon.
You can say what you want, my friend.
Sun is still out here.
You can say what you want. Okay, fantastic. So, we're going to obviously talk about the game on Saturday. We're going to preview the North London Derby against the Scum, as we like to call them. In order to do so, we do need to quickly touch on last night. I'm not going to go in and analyse it because it was just like a horror show, really. And it's not worth going into because it will just get us angry. But in terms of selection, I think there were a few things that maybe we should know. Obviously, he did go back to a back four and he did start Davies. Didn't even have Vertonghen on the bench. Again, he went with Lamella as well. And obviously, there were poor performances all round. It was just one of those games that was just, there was not really any of us that stepped up, which was very frustrating. And I didn't even think Chelsea played that well, which was the most frustrating thing. Once again, it was our mistakes that let us down. So let's talk about the selection for Saturday. Firstly, formation. Is he going to stick with a back four? Do you think he's going to go with a back three? And if he does go with a back three, is it Foyth or Sanchez? And then is it wing-backs of Aurier, Trippier, or is Kyle Walker-Peters, who we're a big fan of on the show, going to get his chance? Lee, is it going to happen?
Is it going to happen? Wow. Mate, it's so difficult. It's so the last two performances are so deflating, and you're looking around to find what the best formation is, what the problem is. I think we're best suited at the moment to a three. And I think we missed Jan last night. I don't think that first goal happens if Jan's playing, because he plays down the left side of the centre backs. I think if Jan isn't fit, I would be happy for Ben Davies to go in as the third. I would go Davies, Toby and Sanchez. I wouldn't put Foyth back in. The Scum mentioned, they're a bit rapid up top. They got good movement. Aubameyang and Lacazette will cause him problems, and he's likely to do something rash or you know, give away silly free kicks around the box. So
Davies looks good, hasn't he, so far when he stepped into that role?
I mean, we wasn't great last night, but he was actually still his sound seven. Six and a half, seven. You know what I mean? He didn't really put a foot wrong. I mean, he didn't excel, but nothing kind of really came down his side. I know the goal kind of did, but that was probably closer to inside the box and should have been dealt with. But I think he still just had a very kind of steady Eddie game. But you're right. Every time he's gone inside and played as part of the three, I don't think we've even conceded. He's been good. So if it's to be a three and Jan's not fit, then Davies inside, Rose out on the left. And then we get back to the right side.
Oh, dear. Oh, how long have we got? Pull up a chair, listeners. Pull up a chair.
I'm just now at the point where I'll keep it short. I'm in the KWP fan club in terms of he's not really put a foot wrong when he's come in. Yes, he's made a mistake here and there, but he's been chucked in big games after not playing for 10, 11, 12 games at a time. And but he still manages to contribute at the other end, and he seems to be more dangerous and effective than the other two. So I think he needs a run of games, and he's one of our own. So he does buy you that little bit. It does buy him that little bit of time in case he does make a mistake. I think fans are more likely to get behind him now. I think they've had enough of Trippier for various reasons. They've had enough of Aurier for obvious reasons. And I think you're at a point now, again, give the lad a chance. Well, I mean, and he can't keep chucking him in on the left just because that's what he does for England under 21.
That's the thing. That in the most recent performances where he necessarily hasn't performed to his best, obviously Palace away in the Cup, where he handballed it, but he was playing left wing back. So it's like, that's not his position. And so he was struggling, and he obviously is going to struggle. And so it's really unfair to have played him in that role, and then he didn't do well. And then obviously don't play him on the right. He needs to play on the right. And you just look at the Bournemouth game, 3 assists in 30 minutes. Like, you know, that's probably more than like Trippier and Aurier have got like in the past, you know, five, six games, 10 games, you know. They're not doing it at the moment, and they're not penetrating, they're not getting down the wing. No. They're just not attacking. And, you know, and then obviously, as we saw last night, they're also making mistakes. So it's for me, that it's just, there's no, it's not even a case. It's just, but it's, you know, Alistair Gold, the Tottenham journalist, had mentioned it today in one of his articles. He was saying basically that Poch seems allergic to Kyle Walker-Peters, and it seems like it must be something that if he's not performing in training, there has to be a reason why, because he's not stupid and he's not been afraid to put young players in before, and he played him in the Barcelona game. So it's not like he's, you know, doing it for other reasons other than he just doesn't think he's good enough. That can be the only reason. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Well, as far as Walker-Peters goes, I have to assume that him not being in the starting lineup has to do with training. Because to me, that's usually what Poch judges everything for the week by. This week is kind of a funny week, because with the Chelsea match yesterday, Arsenal on Saturday, and you know, don't forget, Borussia Dortmund is right around the corner. There's a certain amount of squad rotation that needs to happen, because you can't just run the same 11 out for all three of those matches. Otherwise, we'll have 11 exhausted guys for Dortmund, and you certainly don't want that. I think Poch at this point might be prioritizing the Champions League, so he might be trying to set it up so he's got his best 11 available for that game, even though we do have a convincing advantage. But the way things have gone in the last two matches, I'm not sure anything is convincing at this point. But in terms of the defense, it would almost be an advantage for Spurs to have Walker-Peters out there, just like Lee said, just to deal with their pace. I mean, how many guys in the back do we have who are faster than he is? And you know, maybe you deal with the occasional lapse from Walker-Peters just to have that the speed to be able to match the Arsenal forwards. So that could be part of the strategy as far as going into that game. I could see Walker-Peters being there. I don't think he will be, but I could see the reason to have him on the pitch.
I think he's probably going to play Aurier, and that's going to annoy me.
Which is scary in its own way.
Absolutely. You know, it's just too mistake prone. It's just like, oh, I just get scared when he's on the ball. I get scared when it's passed back to him. And it's just, he does obviously come up with a few good interceptions. He does do some things right. Don't get me wrong. He's not calamitous. He's not terrible, but he's mistake prone. He dives in. He's reckless. And none of them are roughing enough going forward. Right. And so for me, it's just crazy. So, okay. So behind the right back, obviously involved in the second goal, you can't attribute loads of blame to Lloris for that, but also he didn't really make a call and he ran out when there was no need to run out. And, you know, obviously Trippier didn't look up. It was horrendous. I don't want to dwell on it, but how many more times are we going to have to be talking about Lloris's mistakes this season and just see Gazzaniga sit on the bench in this game? It's surely getting to that point now where it's become a major, major issue which has to be looked at, because he's costing us points. He's costing us very, very important matches, and we can't continue to have that. It's just impossible. The fact he's captain for me is just out the window. Harry Kane can be captain. Tonkin can be captain. You know, there's plenty of other people that can step up, but he has to improve and he has to iron these out of his game, or he's going to be on the bench. And I just don't know how long it's going to take more, how many more we have to endure until that happens.
Well, he didn't run out last night, did he? He sprinted out, which was even more alarming. The speed of what he went out to attack that ball, and then obviously Trippier just not looking up. But when you see the replays, you do see him mouth like leave it or keepers, you see him kind of mouth that. But the speed he was coming out at, and obviously when he decided to put his name on it, he's way too far off his line, and he's coming out at such a pace. And Trippier's caught in two minds, because one minute he's willing to shield the ball, and the next minute he's opening his body up for a pass back. You know, so you could it goes both ways. But again, with a keeper, they can see everything. And in that position, you expect them to. I would expect my goalkeeper to make the call there, and it's either pass it back or put it out for a throw. So I don't know where he was running to, because that wasn't an option. It wasn't an option. It was like pass it back or put it out. You know, put it out for a throw. Right. Sprinting out after the ball is not an option. Every time I look at it, I go, "How was that option number three? Where did you find option number three from?" There's only one or two. So I'm with you. I think. You know, I said it before, and I just think if we was in the stadium already and we were trying to, you know, keep the kind of core players in that squad, I think he'd be on the bench already. And it's a circle that keeps going round with Hugo. He keeps making these shockers, and then he'll do two or three games where he makes some great stops, and everyone's going, "No, it's fine. He's back again. He's back again." As soon as you sit back in your seat and go, "It's fine, Hugo's back," he goes and does that.
Yeah.
And you're back there and... So it's a circle. It's a vicious circle. But I think we've got to start thinking about the future as well now.
But it wasn't even just that one. It was the one in the first half as well, which almost led to a goal. And it was just like, that was so sloppy.
That was horrible.
And it was like, you had time. What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to pass? I know, obviously, Poch is telling them to play out from the back. But you've got to... I mean, Sanchez as well. His distribution yesterday was shocking. Like, so many low... They're not clearances. They're low... curling balls that were going straight back to the Chelsea players every time. And it's just like, it was, anyway, it was horrendous. So, Tim, what are your thoughts on Lloris? If you were Poch now, would you bring in Gazzaniga, or would you give him like one last chance, which he seems to do every time?
I think in some ways, I think you have to go one last chance. But I will say, I thought that Lloris was just as much to blame as Trippier was, because Trippier not looking up and seeing where you're passing the ball, as unforgivable as that is, if Lloris is going to come off his line at such a pace, he needs to be loud enough that Trippier hears him, and Lloris has to be saying, "Leave it, goalie ball," whatever he wants to say, but Trippier shouldn't be touching that ball at that point. So that means that Lloris didn't communicate well enough that Trippier knew, all right, my goalie's got it. And I don't, because you saw the play. Trippier looks over his shoulder. He looks at Lloris, then he looks over his shoulder at the Chelsea player, and then he kicks the ball back to Lloris without actually re-engaging the eyesight. So he didn't know where he was kicking the ball, and all of a sudden Lloris is what, 10 feet away from him when he kicked it? I mean, that was... It was unforgivable, and the blame for that has to be put on Hugo, because, like you said, Noel, Hugo's the one who's seeing the play. The play is in front of him. Trippier is running with his back to whatever's going on behind him, so he doesn't know how close the Chelsea player is. Lloris has to take command better on that play. Mm. Now, that being said, I still think that I would make him my choice for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think dropping him for a big game maybe would be the wrong decision, but I just, for me,
it's just too much of a shockwave throughout the club and throughout the fans. And I think if Poch does that, then it could be interpreted that, all right, he's panicking and Spurs are off the rails. And I don't think you want that kind of a message going into a North London derby.
Mm. So, I love the fact I said, "Oh, we're not going to talk about it," and we spoke about it for about 10 minutes. But we're speaking about it with a view to, obviously, the Chelsea game. This is a Chelsea preview show. This isn't an Arsenal review show, sort of. So in terms of formation then, so we're saying that we're going to probably prefer to go with a back five, as it were, back three, back five. Rose on the left, Kyle Walker-Peters, we will play on the right, probably think it's going to be Aurier. And then, as you said, if Davies can play in the back three, if Jan is still injured, we think it's a hip problem, they were saying last night, then fingers crossed he'll be okay. So then obviously it was going to be Winks and Sissoko in the middle. They seem to be the chosen two. And then it's going to be Son, and then it's going to be Eriksen, and then it's going to be Kane. You would have thought. I mean, obviously Eriksen is a shadow of the player that he has been early on in the season. Incredibly frustrating. Son equally yesterday. Everything was bouncing off him. He was getting bounced off the ball. His touch was poor. You know, these are frustrations which happen once, very, very few times. You know, this is like something which is just, it just doesn't happen. The frustrating thing that obviously has happened twice in the space of a week. I very much doubt it's going to be the same on Saturday. I think we're actually going to turn up. I think we're going to play very well. My concern is the attacking play in terms of having no shots on target. That is just horrendous. That should never happen in any game that we play, let alone against Chelsea. And Eriksen is definitely partly to blame. Obviously, Ali not being there, not being part of the cohesive unit that we always talk about, the Fab Four, it's going to have an effect. But still, when you've got those players on the pitch, you have to do better. Winks was anonymous. Sissoko did okay, but he still wasn't making those driving runs that we needed to create space for others. Lamella, again, ineffectual. Very, very neat little passes going nowhere. When Moura came on, the same. So it's like, those are the same players that perform well. Those same players, like Moura was scoring at the beginning of the season, Lamella was scoring in the beginning of the season. You know, these are the players that went to Everton and won 6-2. You know, it's the same team. So, you know, for people to start crying out about investment, you know, I get the fact that obviously to have a bigger squad, they would maybe feel more pressure. But at the end of the day, these are great, high quality players that have, you know, you're talking about Eriksen going for like however many million if he does get sold. You know, these are like world-class players, some of them. And they just need to perform better. It's not a case of, you know, getting someone else in. They're the same players. So then the question comes to motivation. So obviously they had 10 days off before the Burnley game, performed badly. What more motivation do you need than going to Chelsea on a Wednesday night after a defeat? None. So what is the reason? There's got to be a reason. There's maybe Eriksen's head has been turned, people are saying, by the Real Madrid potential or the Barcelona, wherever he might potentially be going. Something's not right. And whether it's down to Poch to motivate them better or whether their heads aren't right mentally, there's got to be a reason behind it. So Tim, what do you think it might be?
Right now, I'm kind of befuddled because it's hard to figure out that to see the team that had been playing so well before these last two games just struggle so much offensively. And, you know, I mean, the most ridiculous thing I keep hearing is, well, Harry Kane came back and we've lost twice. Well, your best player comes back. Yeah, I mean, they haven't played well, but let's not. I mean, I've heard people say, well, we should sit Kane and put Llorente back on and let Son have a bigger role in the offense like he did. How does that fix anything? You don't bench your best player. And especially against a club like Arsenal, you know, I mean, talk about a team that Harry Kane usually is. That's one of his favorite teams to play against. He scores against Arsenal. That's what he does. So that reaction that I'm hearing is to me is preposterous. But in terms of what needs to happen, like you said, Eriksen certainly needs to play better. I don't know what is going on with him, but for the last month plus, he's been a non-factor. And I don't know if his head has been turned. I don't know how he thinks these performances are getting him to Spain, whichever team it is. But he's been terrible. And right now, I don't know who you could put in for him. You know, whether you make it Moura and say, all right, just go run the offense and do what you do, or do you put Sonny in that role and put Moura more up front and see what happens there and give Sonny the bigger role? I'm not 100% sure, but whatever it is, they need to figure it out in the next couple of days.
He might even
the matches
start,
don't get any easier.
Might even start Llorente and put Kane in the 10 as they sort of finished the game
he
yesterday.
Could.
So, you know, Lee, what are your thoughts? I know you were one of the advocates of saying that you felt that Kane came back too early necessarily, and that you maybe would have, because of the sort of the fluidity that they seem to have started showing with Llorente and the team, you felt that Kane was maybe brought back too soon in terms of him starting the game and completely dropping Llorente. Llorente seems to have come on in these games now and had like his 20 minutes and been reasonably effective. Obviously, he would have, confidence-wise, it would have been better for him to start at least against Burnley. Do you think it has upset the sort of the cohesion which was there, or do you think it was a complacency against Burnley, we think, maybe?
I genuinely think it upset the cohesion against Burnley. And I take Tim's point, but I just think when you watch that Burnley game, you think that we could labour away or we did all right against them for an hour. And then when you've seen Kane come on, that half an hour that he came, like if he came on for half an hour and showed that same tempo and that same movement and sharpness that he showed throughout the whole game, I think that would have put Burnley to bed. But it was just the other way around. And I think it suffocated Sonny's play a little bit. And I think we're just going back the other way. I think we're now trying to find, we just found a way to play without Kane. And it just took us about two games to click to find a way to play without Kane. When Sonny came back from the Asia Cup, we found a way to play without Kane. And he's come back, and now we're going back to the way we play with Kane. Right. But how
can they play any different? Say, for example, yesterday then, if they had have rested Kane or Kane had to come on as a sub against Burnley and played 30 minutes, so he was ready to play, what would you have played? Who would you have played against Chelsea?
So yesterday I would have. That would have been my introduction with Kane yesterday. I've gone back to the Burnley game, but that's the one that kind of got away. That's the one that's upset the apple cart. That's upset the rhythm, and that's why I thought that was too soon. But when we seen his sharpness, I looked at that and went, Kane will be ready for Wednesday night. So I would have started him last night. When just going back to last night though, you watch Llorente come on. And he was dropped back. He was in the number 10 for about 20 minutes. He was trying to make tackles and pick the ball up around the halfway line. And Kane was up at the top. And for me, that's the wrong way around. And that's for me goes, you know, when we put Llorente on, are we using him effectively? Is Poch then going to play next to Kane? Because it didn't look like it. And then is he just sitting behind and trying to flick on? Well, it's the wrong way around. Kane has the movement. Kane has a better touch. And if you leave Llorente up on the last defender, you can drop a long ball in and support him like Sonny did. Sonny got a couple of goals on the back of joining in from deeper. So I think it has upset the rhythm just a little bit. And I know it sounds bizarre. But I would have started Kane last night. There's nothing wrong with that. The boys last night just didn't show up. Sonny looked laboured. He looked like he should have done when he returned from the Asia Cup. Not running around like a madman against Watford and then Leicester and then whoever, you know, he now looks like he's absolutely shattered from the Asia Cup. So, it's been a real funny one. Last night and Burnley was real funny. I think we just lost momentum. And now we're just trying to tap into the way we played, you know, when Kane was out. So it will click. It will click. It will go. It will come again. But I think we're just frustrating ourselves at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite strange to think, obviously, we had such a great performance in the second half against Dortmund and had that 10 days off. And then the next game, it just seemed to have just dissipated. So it's a strange one. So obviously, we are talking about the game against Arsenal. They're obviously playing quite well, as they always do. They always win at home and they always score loads of goals. That still doesn't mean they are keeping clean sheets. And it still doesn't mean that they're looking like they're unbeatable by any means. I think obviously the crowd is going to be a major factor. I think we're going to be up for it. I think the defeat actually yesterday has made this even more important to us. And I think it's really actually just increased the pressure, but I think it's also meant that the players and the fans are going to be even more up for it. Even, you know, it sounds really strange to say, but like, because it was obviously a North London derby, but it's just that little bit more. It's cranked up that little bit more. I think the atmosphere will be a little bit higher. And I can't wait, to be honest. I hate these games, to be honest. I really, really do. I get so nervous for them more than any other game. And I mean, last season, when we had that Ozil free kick, I was just literally like, just hiding my face. And when that Lacazette went through, I was on the floor. It was like, oh my God, I just can't take him. It's so weird. I don't get like that with any other game. So it's time to talk about predictions. I'm imagining it's going to be an open game. So you're not going to be surprised to hear me say the words 2-1. But I do think it's going to be something around those lines. I think we are going to get back into form. I think we are going to show some attacking threat. Well, flipping hope we do, because if we don't, then this is it. This will be the last show you ever hear. So, Tim, what are you thinking prediction-wise? What are you going to go for? We're going to do them? Oh dear, that doesn't sound good.
You know what? I'm going for the first draw of the season. I'm going 1-1.
Okay.
Only because the last two games offensively have just been so horrendous, and I mean, no shots on target against Chelsea. Although I guess we could say there was one shot on target because Winks did hit the crossbar. That is the target. So, in theory, but. I didn't see anything yesterday that gave me confidence, and to have to turn it around in 3 days later and have another big match like that, it's going to rely so much on the selection and, you know, how much our speed in the back, again, going back to that speed in the back against their speed up front. I think that's where the game is going to turn. I think Kane will get a goal because he always seems to score against Arsenal, but I would be a lot more confident in our chances if Dele was healthy and he was back out on the pitch. And I don't know how much longer he's going to be on the sidelines, but he can't get back fast enough at this point.
So what are we saying then? What's the
score? I'm going 1-1. I'm going with the draw.
1-1. Okay, cool.
I wish I was more confident.
That's okay. No worries. That sounds fine. Okay, so Lee, what are you going for?
Yeah, I did. A draw crossed my mind. I wouldn't be too surprised by a draw, but I'm a daydreamer. I love it. So, I think it will be open. If it was a draw, it'd probably be more 2-2. But I think it's going to be a 3-2 to us, and we'll all be there under the seat.
3-2.
Yeah,
oh, God,
I know.
Under the seat,
biting nails.
Anyway,
biting our nails, head in hands, screaming at a load of whistle. It's going to be one of them, mate, but it's going to be 3-2, and everyone's going to go, what's the problem? Everyone relax. We're still in third place. So,
I'm scared.
Go 3-2.
Okay, 3-2. Amazing. Well, Lee and I are going to be at the game on Saturday, if you wanted to come and say hi. We're in block 132, and we're going to be in the box park from I think I'm getting there for about 10:30. I don't think Lee will, because he's out the Friday night before, so maybe the shell of him might turn up about 2 minutes before kickoff. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, if you do want to come and say hi, we'll be in box park before and after the game. Fantastic. All right, well, thanks so much for joining us once again. We are the Thing I Love Most show. This is TTLM show on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram and YouTube. So you can see the show live on YouTube, or you can see the video version on YouTube, or obviously you can listen to it on various different audio streams via Audio Boom and Spotify, iTunes and the like. So thank you very much to Tim Leonard, all the way from NYC. And thank you very much to Lee Curtin, all the way from deepest, darkest Hounslow, or somewhere where you live. Wicked. I know you take the 0406. Anyway, thank you very much, guys. Once again, please do continue to support the show with your subscriptions and shares. We really do appreciate it. If you ever want to get involved in the show, please do send us a message on one of the various social channels. And if you ever want to join us, all you need to do is have a Skype connection. You can join in the show. We love to hear from you. So fingers crossed, it's a big game on Saturday, but we're going to do this. We're going to do it, guys. And fingers crossed, it's going to be 3 points. Come on, you Spurs. See you next week.